So, Gus, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about The White Vault today, which is sort of an indie audio drama, but sort of not.
I thought it was pretty popular.
It's pretty popular. They have quite a big following, but they actually kind of came out of nowhere. I think they've done some other shows in the past, but I don't think anything was as large as The White Vault became.
What constitutes it as an indie?
I guess what I would say that they didn't have like a crazy huge budget, and they're not made by like a big company that's coming in to do it, you know?
Would you say a lot of the productions that we listen to are indie podcasts?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say We're Alive does not count as an indie podcast at this point anymore, although it started as it, yeah. Even though Podcast One was a big name, though, so who knows.
But its spinoffs are no longer indie podcasts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely not. Yeah, today we're talking about The White Vault, and Ori still dealing with his baby.
So selfish. We've got a podcast to record.
So so we brought on our buddy Mike. Mike, say hi to the audience.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
That's Mike.
that's all he'll be saying this episode.
Oh, my God. So Mike is a huge fan of the Plotcast. He has worked on a couple of different songs for us now. He does our spoiler time theme, which is always fun. We love the spoiler time thing.
Yeah. We love spoiler time, by the way.
I'm remaking that, by the way.
Are you?
Kinda. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad that
the original one.
Our fans didn't get attached to it.
The original one is fun. It'll be kind of the same, but there's going to be a little bit of changes, little tightening.
Nice.
Cool. Well, we're excited to listen to it when it finally comes out.
Finally, like it's taking him a long time. We didn't even know it was in the process.
I knew it was in the process, Gus. You just didn't pay attention. I had no idea. I had no idea.
So yeah, Mike is also an audio drama lover, and he's going to be joining us today for our review of The White Vault.
And we're excited to have him.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
So I guess we can get right into it.
So in classic Plotcast fashion, Mike, what is The White Vault about?
The White Vault is about a team coming together to kind of repair a station located in Svalbard. The location is Outpost Freestead, if that's right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. As if they didn't say it enough times for it to get stuck in your head.
I know, something like that.
Oh, so many times.
I'm never going to forget Outpost Freestead, and I'm so happy about it.
So they go and they fix what the problem was, but they end up finding a trap door in one of their storage buildings, and hijinks ensue.
Hijinks? That's not exactly how I would describe it.
No. Horrors.
Yeah, the big problem with the gang is that they are stuck in a massive snowstorm.
Yeah.
Right.
But they've got enough food to last for quite a few months, they said, just in case.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this is kind of their trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm.
That's still a light way of putting it.
Yeah, it is still a little bit. Trials and tribulations, the hijinks that go on amongst the gang.
It's not my fault that a season one made it seem like that.
Well, okay, so when we first started listening to this, I said you absolutely had to listen to the trailer first. Did either of you listen to the trailer first?
I did not.
No. You know I don't listen to you.
Oh, my God.
You didn't tell me to listen to the trailer until after I, you know, got to episode 3.
Okay, well, I invited you to listen to the show, and then 20 minutes later, you were like, I'm done. Oh, was it good? Yeah, it was great. Easy peasy.
It didn't take me 20 minutes.
You flew through it, though.
I did. I was enjoying it, man.
You did flow through it.
I do need to preface everything that I'm about to say about the podcast with, I am a huge wuss when it comes to like horror films or horror genres.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
really?
I would not have guessed.
Yeah, I get...
Oh, Mike, you little baby. Come on, dude.
I get the chills when, you know, you hear, like, the noises that they have in the background. So it's... Yeah, the horror genre of podcasts is something new to me. I don't actively go and look for horror things to listen to.
That's cool. I had no idea.
Well, that's funny, because we've been looking for a horror podcast, I think, for at least a couple weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommended one, and it wasn't finished, and I think, Gus, you found this one. And, you know, no spoilers yet, it really wasn't that scary.
Oh, it wasn't that scary.
And I don't think it was supposed to be. I don't think it could have been.
Mike, did you think it was scary?
So there were points in the first season. It's a lot more kind of suspenseful. And it's interesting the way they stitch everything together, you know, using notes people had written or recordings that they had found, and the kind of the narration behind those. And, you can tell, you can basically expect when things are going to happen when the person says, you know, this is coming from a recording, that happened overnight.
Oh, yeah. that was part of the fun, though, by the time you actually got to those sections.
Oh, yeah.
I think by the time you get to the section, it is like every horror fan is just like, you know, some shit's about to go down.
Exactly.
And they're not shy about it. And I really liked that anticipation. I think it did raise two problems, though. The first being that the first season is very boring.
Very boring.
And this is why I told you guys to listen to the trailer first. If you don't listen to the trailer of The White Vault, the premise, first of all, sounds fantastic. It sounds really interesting. But if you don't listen to the trailer, you go into the first episode, and the first episode is literally only introducing the team. The second episode is, again, more introduction, more travel. They finally get up there and start working. And there is very little that actually happens and actually builds on tension in the first couple of episodes. And you only eventually find out that someone potentially rigged the signal so that it was broken on purpose, and that's why that they were brought there.
Right. And
how many episodes do you think season one could have been consolidated into?
I would say 4.
I think so. I was going to say 5, but same thing.
Well, in my personal opinion, I think while I do agree the first season was kind of boring, you could have put season one and season two into one gigantic season and, you know, 20 episodes and call it good. I think the way they paced things between within the episodes was fine. The first season just kind of very, very slowly built that tension, to where you're slowly finding out about the, you know, the underground city and all the other things that are down there.
I don't disagree with you. Wow.
I also disagree with you.
Oh, I said I didn't disagree.
Oh, really? Oh, I do disagree. I think by the time, while the pacing I thought was fine, by the time that I got to a point where I actually felt a little bit of tension, probably would have been the point of no return for a lot of listeners. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. You know, I stuck with it, one, because I had to, and two, because by the time I did get to an interesting point, it was interesting, and the premise is interesting, and I do like the characters.
Oh yeah,
except for Walter, he was kind of a whiny.
Oh, bitch. You said you liked him because he was like that, though.
He played it very well.
It was funny because it was kind of stereotypical.
Oh, he did it really well.
And to branch off for a second, he reminded me of Pippin from We're Alive. They kind of played the same.
I can see that. So, kind of a tangent on this while we're talking about the actual acting. I really enjoyed a lot of the actors on there. A couple of them were actually not... This is the first thing that they've ever acted in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Cool.
Especially, yeah, a lot of the foreign actors, this is one of the first things that they've ever done, which is really cool.
So, I love them. I love that diverse group of actors.
They did a really good job.
German, the Englishman.
Are the accents...
Yeah. Except for the Russian.
Are the accents... Are they legit accents from the people, or are they acted?
The accents are real on everybody except for Peter, the Russian guy who plays Graham.
Huh. See that?
Yeah, because they supplied the narrations, the translations of the notes and things like that.
See, that was one of the things that bothered me initially with the podcast as a whole. Was everybody's accents.
How are we hearing notes? Oh, really?
Right.
Really?
So the way they did the notes and you heard them speaking in their native tongue, that I think that's those sections were a little bit long. They could have been shortened up a little bit. You understand, yes, this person is speaking in another language and they are translating.
Right.
But that's just my just a little thing. But the accents that everyone had.
I felt the opposite way. I really enjoyed those parts. It felt very real. The only thing that I had a problem with is that I felt like they spoke in their native tongue most of the time, and I wondered how they communicated with one another.
They all spoke English.
Yeah, I know they all spoke English. But that's kind of how it
Well, that's
came
why
out.
I said initially it kind of bothered me a little bit. But as I kept listening to the podcast, all the characters grew on me, and I understood them a lot more. As they were kind of getting into their roles.
Mm-hmm. I actually really, if we're talking about in terms of technique, I really disliked the notes section just because it doesn't really make any sense. How are we hearing the notes from the person spoken in real time? Like, you know, if you're going to have it translated, it needs to be somebody else who's translating it.
Right.
I get why they did it. But just in terms of, like, cohesion, it didn't really make any sense to me and kind of took me out of it. So I was like, how are we listening to these notes after we find out what happens to certain characters?
I think like, later in season two, they did translate, or the narrator translated a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that was a one-off instance.
Okay.
It just was something that stuck out to me because, you know, I'm a stickler for technique and consistency throughout these things.
You are. I understand. I didn't even think about that.
So
I guess I was immersed.
I really, really liked this show full out. I'm super glad that we decided to listen to it while there was two seasons. I think if we had listened to it when season one finished, I would have been very disappointed just on the flow and the pacing of it, because like you had said, AK, it leaves a bit to be desired by the end of the actual season one and when it starts to get good. And then when it gets good, it gets really, really good and you want to keep listening. And I flew through season two.
Oh, so did I.
But yeah.
Yeah, same here. Season two was everything, like from the get-go. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely incredible, very immersive, and I really did fly through it today.
And I think they learned a bit from season one, too, which is always nice to see. The narrator's pop-ins were definitely reduced a lot in season two. The clips that we were hearing based on how long they were talking and traveling were more back-to-back. Longer clips there so that we didn't have to have somebody keep popping in and say, this is a clip from so-and-so, this is a clip from this piece,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. Which did bug me a little bit in season one. I wish that there was less narration pop-in, because we get the idea that these are clips that are disjointed. She doesn't need to keep jumping in and say, this is a clip from this guy on this recorder 2 minutes after the recorder that you just listened to. Like, we get
agreed.
It.
I had some love-hate feelings with the narrator. There are some instances where I really like what she was saying. I thought the little tidbits that she did with the camcorder, where she would say, you know, the video was broken, but the audio was there, was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes when she would do a little bit more detailed nuances with some of the statuses of the notes and what kind of shape they were in, I thought could have been taken out.
I think her quips were short enough to kind of just give us an overall view. She's not giving way too much detail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think her clips were definitely the right length. I don't think she babbled on like some other narrators that we've heard in different things. I think she was just there a little too often in season one for my taste.
Yeah, I can see that. Did either of you get The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing vibes from this?
I don't know what that is.
No?
No.
You've never seen The Thing?
I don't think
AK?
So. Old horror movie, I'm guessing?
I've never seen The Thing.
Well, I'm so sad right now.
Is it like a classic horror movie?
Yeah, I'm about to give you guys some homework.
Nah, fuck the classics.
Don't you hate horror movies?
I thought we just talked about this.
You said you were a
I
baby.
Was, but this is I, an old...
Was that the conclusion that we came to?
Yeah.
Conclusion oh you two God. Came to. Come on now. But no, the thing is set in an Arctic kind of camp, like this one is. The mm-hmm. premise is a little different. Has to do with like aliens and some other things. But the...
Wow, spoilers.
Sorry. But the the tension, the suspense is very, very similar between the two things. And that's, I just kept coming back to it as I was listening to both seasons of this.
No, I haven't seen it. When did it come out?
There's two versions of it.
Was it the 50s?
Like, is it really old? Because I haven't watched any. I'm not a huge fan of very old horror. I watched The Night of the Living Dead recently.
So the original was 1982.
Okay.
It's not terribly old.
Bad. I thought it was much older. Mm-hmm.
They did remake it, I want to say 10 years ago as well. Maybe sooner.
No, I'll give it a watch.
But it's...
Anything like The White Vault, honestly, I would definitely listen to or watch another show like this. I loved the atmosphere and like the cold mix with the scary tension.
Oh, yeah.
Just worked so well for me.
Dude, I don't know if you knew where Svalbard was before, but I did. It's fucking horrifying to even think about it.
Where is it? It's an island, right?
Yeah, it's north of Norway. It's close to the Arctic Circle. It's very...
very isolated.
Very cold. And it's very scary. Tourists like to go there. Don't really know why.
So that they can see Outpost Freestead.
But the setting was really good. You know, they're really only in two places.
Yeah.
They're either outside or inside.
I highly recommend this show. Like... it wasn't perfect. It had some flaws that we brought up, but this is one of my favorite shows that we've reviewed so far. I really, really loved it.
Season 2 really steps up when it needed to and finishes perfectly.
Let's get into spoiler time.
Let's get right into spoiler time.
Spoiler time. Yeah.
Take it away.
Spoiler time. Spoiler time. If you don't want to hear it, pause this now. Pause it. Don't go any further. No, no. Don't you... oh, well, fine. You did it. Idiot.
Mike, since you're so apt on spoiling the show...
I can't help it. I'm sorry. So, what... gosh.
Karina Schumacher Weiss.
Oh. that one section where they hear the thing on the outside.
Oh, outside the door? Oh, yes.
Karina.
Oh, it's so
Karina.
Good.
The sound effects are amazing. And
yeah, they're so good.
When they are hearing the scratches, they're like, maybe it's just something that got loose.
It was something that got loose. So they eventually figure out that the thing down in the hole that they end up exploring in the cave turns out to be a human. I had the word earlier and now I'm blanking. Something amphitheater.
Oh, the I have it written down. The anatomical theater.
Anatomical theater, yes. So they figure out that it's essentially a place for dissecting living beings and then storing part of their body.
That was just one building in the grand scheme of things. Like, they found this whole
in the village,
whole city under the ice, abandoned.
Oh, so scary.
It's so creepy. All the little boxes that lined the floor were filled with teeth. At one point, Graham does the math and figures out that I think it was over 10,000 people needed to die there in order to fill a single box.
That's ridiculous.
And then there are other boxes that have hearts, and some of them come back to life and start beating again.
So creepy.
And then there are also black statues that line the wall, which turn out to be the thing that's kind of hunting them. At least that's what I got. Because they start moving, and then they're in a different spot, and one of them is missing.
Yep.
And so this creature, this like black spindly kind of creature starts, well, it first appears to Karina Schumacher Weiss and then pushes her off of a ledge, or she jumps off a ledge to get away from it. Yeah. And then it scratches, I'm blanking on his name. Jesus Christ.
Jonas.
Jonas.
Yeah.
Jonas.
Yeah. Jonas. Scratches Jonas. And then it kind of haunts them in the camp for a little while. Like you said, whispering and scratching and things like that. It eventually grabs Karina, pulls her out, and then she is dead, that they find out later on.
She comes back to them, too.
I couldn't picture that scene at all. Like, I really loved the scene where she came back and was standing outside and, like, they listened to her through the audio device. That was probably one of my favorite scenes, where she's like talking to them through the door and mumbling and all that stuff. But the scene where she was actually pulled out of the door down into the cave, I couldn't picture that at all.
When I was hearing it, I had kind of a image of a like a still camera in a corner, right? And you have a little bit of a wider view, kind of like
Paranormal Activity.
Mm-hmm. And you see like the door open, and then you can, I guess, if the monster, you see the monster or whatever, just comes through, and you could see her being dragged out by her foot.
Mm-hmm.
The way they described the camp that they were in, the building, it seemed rather small, not very big mm-hmm. at all. So whoever pulled her out, whatever it was, it would be fairly quickly.
Yeah, especially because I think they were all staying in the living area at that point. They were all sleeping in the same place.
Right.
Yeah, they were.
To me, all I pictured was the Grinch's arm going through the little Who Town, like, and grabbing the ornaments off of stuff, and like the tree and the roast beast and all that, and you don't see his body, you just see the long arm just go all the way through. And that's literally what I pictured for this, because I never really got a vision for what the creature looked like, even though they kind of talk about it in some vague terms.
Well, I think they did that on purpose, right? They're trying to mm-hmm. get you to envision it in your own head. I mean, if you envision a Grinch arm, sure, go for it.
I think that was probably my one issue with season two, was that a lot of the action to me was a little bit hard to convey through sound alone, specifically the points where Walter is taken by the creature. I had no idea that they were being attacked by the creature and the bear until after they explained it, and they were like, oh, a bear attacked us afterwards and he was cut loose. That made sense to me. I didn't get it just through the sound.
Okay.
And then when Graham is eventually taken later on, I didn't get that through the sound at all either. I was kind of waiting for them to explain what happened afterwards, and I listened to it multiple times to try to pick up on it.
Yep. I was a little confused with the bear. A little confused. Wish it was a bit clearer. Wish they stayed in the snow a little bit longer.
Well, they could.
Yeah, that would have been cool. It was a good point, though.
Yeah, I know they couldn't, but it felt like that was the climax they were getting to, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I just wanted them to be in the storm a little bit longer. They were only in for maybe an episode.
Yeah, it was only a couple minutes out of an episode, I think. Maybe it was a full episode, because Graham gets pulled away towards the end.
Like, I think there was a lot of things that they could have done with it. You know, what I envisioned with the city is that it kind of just spread throughout the underground of the island, mm-hmm. and that they would have found a cave, and then maybe they could have found an additional entrance or something. But just to go back to base, I didn't hate it, but I kind of wish they went maybe into a different direction.
Well, I mean, for them, the base was safety, at least for a time. And you know, that's where they had to go back to get away from whatever was in the city, to get away from the storm outside. That was warmth, that was security, until they got, you know, raided.
Mm-hmm. Then it was like a prison, and they were kind of forced and trapped in there with the storm.
Exactly. At some point, they're like, we can't, there's nowhere where we can go where we are not being hunted.
Yeah. I kind of agree with you. I wish they were in the snow a little bit longer, because that was a really good point of tension for me. But I understand why they didn't do it, because they wanted to kind of, like, they wanted to have Graham taken, and then they wanted to go a little faster pacing in the story. And they also kind of played into that mysticism side, to where they were out in the storm for hours, and then all of a sudden they're back in the camp in just a few minutes. So it's kind of like,
yep,
they can't do anything to escape this creature.
Right.
They can't get away. Yep.
One of the sections that I enjoyed for its creepiness was when they were, I believe it's after Walter was taken and they're trying to go after him. They go deeper into the anatomical theater with the stairs made of teeth. And they have this growing static as they're going deeper and deeper into these tunnels.
Yeah, that was good.
And I think at some point the narrator pops up and says, you know, there's a lot of static here, so we had to cut it, and they actually reach the end, and the static stops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really good, too. I loved that you could still hear them through the static, too.
Right.
It wasn't just static. They had a couple of different scenes in the show where it was, like, really bad quality, but you knew that that was something coming.
Right. Something was going to happen.
That was really good.
I really wanted Graham to live at the end.
He was my favorite.
Poor Graham.
Or I at least wanted a bigger to-do with Graham. Like, I wish he would have, like, fought it for a second and then, like, yelled at them to run or something like that. Not just, like, there and then gone in a second, you know?
He was taken by the tentacle monster, wasn't he?
Yeah,
the tentacle monster thing. Yeah. So it turns out that there's more creatures in the caves than just the one. But the scary spindly arm thing was actually afraid of the tentacle monster.
Right, for good reason.
I just wanted more out of the people disappearing, I think.
Yeah.
Like more of a struggle or something.
Yeah, I think Karina got a really long farewell, and then Walter got a few scenes, and it felt like Graham was very quick, fast, and to the point.
Yeah. Well, they do it on purpose. It's increasing the pacing, and by the time you get to the end of like any kind of traditional horror movie like that, people just start dropping like flies, which is always fun.
Pretty much.
Like a Friday the 13th or, you know, something. There's a movie called The Caves, which is very similar to this show in the sense that it's people go spelunking. They end up getting trapped down there. They finds out there's a creature living in there that infects one of them. And then at the very end, like, everybody's dead except for this one person that's infected.
What the fuck is spelunking?
It's cave diving.
Spelunking? Yeah, cave diving.
Cave diving?
Yeah.
They call it spelunking?
Yeah, spelunking. You've never heard that?
Never.
That's the technical term.
Yep.
Never.
You've never gone spelunking?
Oh yeah, every all the time in my free time, Gus. Don't you know me?
You live a boring life. I've gone spelunking. It's fun.
Don't you know
spelunking
me?
Spelunking is deeply terrifying to me.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Yeah. No thank you.
Oh God, I only went down with like a guided thing once, and I was like, no, thank you. First of all, I hate heights. It was really, really cool though, but yeah. I had seen the scary movie, and I was like, well, I'm fucking dying down here. But
I'll pass.
Eventually, Graham is taken, and then it's Jonas and...
Rosa.
Oh my God, Dr. Rosa, yes. And they're like alone in this cave that they find a bunch of imprints and kind of sketches in the wall that are glowing. And then they like trace over some with, I guess, like a pencil or something similar to that. I forget what they used exactly, but it made markings on a paper. And then what happens to Rosa? Does she get taken or does she just die in the cave? She gets taken.
I don't remember. I remember like her and Jonas get separated at some point. I think they go down different sections of the cave and you don't hear from Rosa ever again. She gets lost. I don't remember her being taken though.
I thought they got to a safe spot and they were about to start going a different direction and then the thing came and took her. And that's where the part where Jonas comes in and he essentially says, like, it never meant to take me. It was always going to leave me alone.
Ah, poor Jonas. That
sort of. I would rather live like that than die like they did.
Did you hear his monologue at the end?
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
He's talking about going through this tiny tunnel, scraping his own skin off, and then at some point getting stuck, and he can't move, and he's hearing the creepy little laughs behind him, and but he's saying that you never meant to take him, and now he's screwed.
Well, sort of. I think it was implying that he is turning into one of them. Like, his skin started to come off, and he said he had the black spindly arm underneath where his skin used to be, and he said it wasn't his own anymore, like he couldn't control it.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, that makes it so much more creepy.
Yeah, so it's turning him into one. Yeah, he's turning into the one of them from just the scratch, so it didn't want to kill him. And that's like that movie The Caves where it's the last person's infected.
I'm getting goosebumps, you guys. It's creepy.
Oh, no.
Now the question is, where do they go from here?
Well, so they talked about it for a little bit in the last couple... Was it the last full episode or just the like last couple minutes of the last episode?
The last full episode is just kind of a wrap-up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what happens to everything after, you know, additional teams going and trying to see what happened and how they obtained all these notes.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So at the tail end of everything, is it the narrator that gets the phone call?
Yes.
And the guy is saying, you know, how much would you pay for, you know, information about the lost team? And, they kind of get into a little tiff and he's about to hang up. And she says, you know, what do you have? You know, I'll pay you based on what you have. And he says, we found one.
Mm-hmm.
And then cut. That's it.
Yeah. That was so good. I really liked that ending too.
Big old setup.
Who do you think it's going to be? I don't think it's Jonas.
I think it's Rosa.
You think it's Rosa?
It's either Rosa or Graham.
I would love if it was Graham, but I don't think it's going to be Graham because Graham is their narrator for their other major show. And like, if he's the main character of two of their different shows, I just don't think they're going to do it.
Sad day.
As much as I loved it. I love Graham's voice. Peter Lewis. Oh,
you're breaking my heart.
Seems like you have a man crush.
I got a huge man crush. I'm trying to get Peter Lewis to be in one of our productions. Are you kidding me?
He did have a great voice, I will say.
It grew on me like everybody else's.
Didn't have the Russian accent, though,
well,
that I wanted.
Yeah. He was,
well, that's because he's American.
He was a Russian-Canadian.
Well, no, the actor is American.
Right. But he was Russian-Canadian, so that's why they explained he didn't have the accent.
Mm-hmm. When you see it, it sees you.
When you hear it, it hears you.
Okay, well, Mike and Gus are freaking me out, so I think...
Karina Schumacher-Weiss.
Karina!
I just...
Mike, thank you for being here, because you are freaking me out.
Who's the little bitch now?
Go watch The Thing.
Yeah. Go watch The Caves.
No Caves.
Yeah, go watch The Caves. It's a good movie. Yeah.
No.
No Caves. I'm just going to re-listen to the last episode.
Go spelunking.
I'm going to go...
Oh, AK, did you not pick up on any of the stuff that we're saying in the last episode?
No spelunking. Definitely no spelunking for me. even the idea of just going deep into the earth is something that is so unflattering to me that I'd rather eat my own finger.
You know that's a one of those irrational fears, right?
What? Like being trapped in the earth?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. I don't even think it's irrational. I think it's perfectly rational.
That's me and the ocean.
Yeah, I hate the ocean too. But mine's from experience.
I don't even mind the ocean.
No, thanks.
No, I got sucked out by a riptide once and blacked out underwater.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
The fuck happened to you, dude?
So, my buddy Zane, actually, he's not a great swimmer. He went on vacation with me and my family when we were around 18, 19 years old. So, he's not a great swimmer. He'd never been to the ocean. We took him in, and he was supposed to stay in kind of close. And my dad and I went out really far because we, you know, love the ocean. I used to, like, body surf all the time out there and everything. And then, the next thing I see, my buddy is kind of like drifting out really, really far, and he's like waving at us, and we're like, what are you doing? What's wrong? And he yelled like, I can't stay afloat anymore. And so obviously we like waved down the lifeguard, but the lifeguard was really far away and we were kind of closer to him. So my dad and I like swam over to him really quickly, and then we kind of held him up in the water until the lifeguard came. And by the time we got there, I was exhausted from trying to keep him above water. And we start coming back in. We get pretty close to the beach, and the lifeguard like runs him up onto the beach and, you know, starts giving him mouth to mouth and making sure he's okay. And I get hit by a huge wave after we're like trying to come ashore, and I just black out. And the next thing I know, I'm on the beach with the lifeguard. So they told me that I got sucked out.
That's insane.
Oh, shit, dude. So you almost died.
Yeah, I almost died.
See,
it was terrifying.
Yours
I
is
can't go into the
completely
ocean
rational. Mine just stems from watching too many shark movies.
No.
Dude, that does not sound fun. Yeah.
I grew up at Ocean City all the time. We went every summer, so like, you know, it was always a thing we did.
Can you imagine just being trapped underground?
Nope.
Tell me that, though. It's fucking horrifying.
Big old heaping pile of nope.
Yep.
Because think about it. All right, let's think about it. Let's break it down for a second. So Gus, if you blacked out and you never woke up, you would have just died.
I would have died, yeah.
But underground, I mean, like, unless a rock smashes your head in, you are stuck down there. Mm-hmm. To die, you're either going to suffocate, you're going to starve, or you're probably going to be killed by something. And that's it. You're just fucked.
Would you just end it? If you knew that you were trapped, would you just kill yourself?
If I could, like, could I?
Yeah, you see a really sharp stalagmite a couple of rocks below. You're going to jump off and impale yourself?
Oh, man. Can you imagine if you lived? Oh, no.
This took a dark turn.
Oh, my Lord. I need to go watch a Disney movie.
Yeah, you need to eat something happy after this.
Serious.
Oh, man.
So
overall, the White Vault, really, really,
really
good.
But I am actually, I don't particularly care about a third season. I feel like they're going to get into the mystery behind it, and it's going to ruin some of the magic, in my opinion. I don't, you know, like, we grew attached to those characters. I don't particularly care about the narrator. I don't necessarily want to know the truth about what's going on there. I'm perfectly happy with it just being this mysterious thing, like in a scary movie.
I completely agree that half the magic is not knowing.
While I agree, I would be interested to see where they take it, who's the one person they have left, and, yeah, you know, is there going to be another trip down to Svalbard?
But I guess the idea that behind that is where do you end it? Are you just going to do the kind of same ideas? So let's say they talk to the found person. They go down again. Is it just going to repeat season 2 and season 1 all over again?
I don't think it would.
And if so, would you, like, why not just leave it at season 2 and just have the listener think of their own conclusions?
Yeah, I mean,
that's how I would be happy with it ending, but go ahead, Mike.
I hearken it back to a game I played a long time ago, Dead Space. I don't know if you guys have played it at all.
Oh, yes.
It's for a guy not really being into horror stuff, it's one of my favorite games.
You seem like a guy, Mike, I think you're secretly just into horror.
Maybe.
Stuff.
Maybe
I think
I'm
it's okay.
Just masochistic about it. I don't know.
You could still be afraid of it and still enjoy it. That's part of the fun of scary movies. If you weren't afraid of them, they wouldn't be fun.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I just love it and I think that I hate it because it scares me. But to continue my thought, so back to Dead Space. So there are three Dead Space games. All are very, very much the same game. You have a guy that's trapped, and throughout the three games, the progression of the main character, he grows more and more agile and kind of combat ready, I guess you could say. So with that in mind for the White Vault, if they bring someone back and they have to go another time, this person's experiences and knowledge from the first part, from the first event, would kind of make them a little bit more prepared to deal with whatever it is that's there. You don't even have to explain it in detail exactly what it is. It can definitely be a lot more action oriented at that point.
I kind of see it as like Jurassic Park and Jurassic Park 2. For some reason, those are just sticking out to me. Like, the people that go back in to fix everything, they know what's going on. They go with a like fully ready team, like you were saying. So I think they could do it well. I don't know. I'm not super. I would be perfectly happy with it ending the way it ended.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same.
But there
way.
Is season 3
Cut
in the
seasons,
works.
Seasons just have one, the White Vault podcast, and just end it where it was supposed to end.
Last thought, the title, White Vault. I realize it goes to the, you know, the trap door that goes into the city, right? That's kind of the vault. But it's never, the title is never really explained. It's only implied. It's never said anywhere in the two seasons.
Yeah. I just kind of chalked it up to the, they were just trapped in the snowstorm.
Yeah. I really liked the name. I think it had that kind of mysterious creepiness to it. But I gotta say, just hearing about the premise, I thought it was going to go in a different direction.
What direction did you think it would go?
I didn't think it was going to be supernatural. I thought it was going to be more like just survival horror in the snow kind of thing, which I would have also enjoyed.
Honestly, that would have been pretty cool. That would have been really fucking cool.
Hmm?
Like frostbite? Like that kind of stuff? Like
people
were just dying left and right from the elements, well, and maybe polar bears.
Yeah, from the elements and like
natural
survival
disasters.
Or it could have been somebody up there as well who had like sabotaged it to bring people and all that kind of stuff. But it didn't necessarily. I honestly wasn't even sure. And I wasn't sure if through season one, if it was an actual creature or if it was just one of the characters, the main cast, that was like tricking everybody and bringing them up there just to kill them, because that's another trope that you see a lot of the time in horror movies, is that one of the main cast is actually the killer. They brought everybody up there. Like Jonas could have turned out to be tricking them to bring them up there to kill them,
right?
And so I thought that might be a direction it was going into, because you're not actually sure if Karina saw something or what for a really long time.
I just think that the trap door from the established base location into the catacombs was a little weak.
Yeah,
like who made the trap?
That's part
door?
Of the mystery, isn't it?
They did.
Like
they didn't make it.
They didn't.
That's why
know.
I kind of wish it. Like maybe they went when they went to the storm. They found a cave, and then you'd be like, "Oh, okay, that kind of makes
sense."
Oh,
like they got lost and found a cave.
Yeah. So they're in the snowstorm. You know, Walter gets separated. They find a cave. And then the cave leads back into the city.
That could have been interesting.
There are so many different ways they could have went with it, and I think I would have been happy with any of them, because it was still
and
good.
And I guess that what makes it such a great show is that we're coming up with all these scenarios, and we're thinking about the future and what could have happened.
Oh, such a fantastic
Because all those
setting.
Possibilities are in the air. Mm-hmm. We can think about them. We can say, oh, you know, what if this happened, or what's going to happen next?
You know what? I think the only reason that I'm not super looking forward to a season three is because the season three people already know what they're going to be dealing with. I would rather listen to another season of just like a group of people that are accidentally dropped into this and stumble across it. I think like you could do that for me over and over and over again, and I would listen to every season.
See, I disagree. I think they have no idea what they're in for.
The season three people. Ooh, spoopy.
Like, they have an idea, but I think they're really going to find out what's down there.
But Gus doesn't want to find out. He wants that mystery. But overall, good show.
Do you think there's a leader? Ooh, do you think there's a leader?
No, I think it's just, like, a curse that was put on these people a long time ago, and, like, experiments and all that kind of stuff.
Fucking
small. It could have been cultish, right? They could have been worshiping these things and, you know, giving themselves willingly.
It's like, oh my God, now that you bring that up, it's like a cult-based podcast. This is a theory. Done right. Oh my God. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Overall. Good show.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. This might be one of the only ones that I would listen to again.
I would just go right to season two again.
I liked season... Okay. If anybody tries to do a season one like this show did season one and we stumble across it, I swear to God, I'm going to be so fucking mad. You don't...
Yeah, dude. Like,
you don't...
Which you...
You don't do an entire season of build-up with one cliffhanger and then be like, well, see you guys in 6 months.
Yeah, I totally got to agree with you, man.
You can't.
If it was just one season, build-up to a, you know, stopping point, yeah, That'd be terrible. It'd make you want to listen to the next season for sure.
Oh no, I'd be pissed.
You wouldn't listen to the next season?
I feel completely the opposite. No.
Why not? It builds up and you're just like cliffhanger and you want to know what's happening next.
Because the build-up wasn't satisfying enough to warrant a listen. Like I said before, like the only reason I kept going is because I had to, and I'm happy about that because season two was everything that I wanted. It was amazing.
I think if we had reviewed this show as soon as season one ended, we would have had a hugely different tune.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could honestly say myself I would have shat on it. Yeah, I would have said the progression was terrible, the drop-off was terrible, the interruption of the narrator, it all led to a really unsatisfying feeling. But because there were two seasons and you made it all the way through, you got the satisfaction of knowing what happened and the cliffhanger panned out.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I completely agree with you. I think if somebody else were to do this, this kind of podcast, you would definitely have to put one and two together. You'd have to have the build up to the crescendo, or else it's just going to fall flat and it's not going to work very well.
Well, guys, my name is AK the Extraordinaire, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Plotcast. And thanks to our special guest, Mike. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Check out Silent Mike at silentmikemusic.com.
Oh, hello there. I guess since you're here and we've stopped talking, that means the episode is over, and I should probably start doing the outro. The Plotcast was brought to you by us. Seriously. We don't have an advertiser, and we've been working hard to kind of keep it ad-free and to not have to sell you guys any Bombas socks or a website you don't really need. So if you could do us a favor, just share this show with someone who you think would enjoy it. Or go check out one of our other shows, such as How I Died, a murder mystery audio drama that we've been working on for a really long time now and is out soon. Or leave us a review on iTunes and all that good stuff. Now it's time for the credits. Our intro and outro music is from Nishkam Joshi on SoundCloud. And special thanks to our buddy Silent Mike Music for putting together our Spoiler Time song with lyrics from Shayna Waring. Check him out at silentmikemusic.com. And I think that's it. Cool. Thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed the Plotcast.